I'm sick of this affair of the local media has an agenda that they're going to serve. I don't know who's in charge of it or what it is, if it's like a headless monster.
Why? This is a question.
Walking backwards. Yeah. Something sacred.
I don't know the names of the creep songs. Those
running in circles.
Just pop in and let play.
Sea of glass.
The flight and the fall.
I love Ozzy. I think he's the true definition of a rock star. So came out
by your speakers. Anybody else have any interesting stories they want to come to?
Hey, this is John Lane from the Thriving Tropics of Leechburg, Pennsylvania.
The Pennsylvania Rock Show, featuring the best unsigned rock that Pennsylvania has to offer.
Hey, it's Bill, and you're tuned into the Pennsylvania Rock Show right here on PARockShow.com, MegaRockRadio.net, BuildTheScene.com/radio, RootaRooRadio.com, 107.1 FM, St. Louis, Missouri, XRPRadio.co.uk, across the pond in England, and then across the border into Canada with AltRockRadio.ca. I think I hit them all. You're tuned to the Pennsylvania Rock Show, featuring the best unsigned rock and metal that Pennsylvania has to offer. With me tonight on episode number 485, coming to you from Fear of Fish Studio, Scott Canavan. Did I say your last name right?
It depends on whether my parole officer is asking for me or not. You can mispronounce my name a little bit if you need to, just so it throws the trail off. But yes, if I order pizza, I'll like overpronounce it. Canavan. if it's just people that I know with a certain degree of familiarity, it's usually Scott Canavan. So either way, lots of A's in there.
I get lots of different versions of my last name as well.
Yeah.
I have a few students that purposely say it without the A. So I've started calling them by like variations of the first name.
Oh, that's funny. One year at Christmas, my sister and I decided to not use any vowels while we were talking. And that annoyed the rest of the family. We were adults too. And when I say one Christmas, I mean like 3 years ago. That annoyed everybody real fast. So thanks for having me on.
I'm like, okay, where do I go with that?
Yeah.
All right, so
we might not end up talking about music. I don't know. Is this a Christmas? This is a Christmas show podcast, right?
I mean, holidays. It could be. My landlord owns a company called Pixel Pro Displays.
All right.
Which is Christmas lights that are synchronized to music. Since I've started, I will do the shout out. It's pixelprodisplays.com, and if you want to see what our house looks like at Christmas time, it's leechburglights.com. There, he'll be happy to hear I did that.
Good. Do you get a nickel every time?
And yes, I put both of those websites online. So, so tell me about the name Fear of Fish Studios. Where did that come from?
So I had been married for a little while, and then I got divorced. And when I first started going out and spending time trying to, you know, meet girls again and whatnot, somebody had said, we were talking about so many fish in the sea, you know, or plenty of fish in the sea or whatever. And a buddy of mine said, I think you have a fear of fish. And, it was one of those things, you know, like, I'm sure you're acclimated to this or accustomed to this, but you know, anybody can say a phrase or a word or certain things, you go band name, you know, or song title. So it was Fear of Fish because I just wasn't, you know, putting myself out there or whatever. So I held on to that. And I actually still have the original drawing that a guy that I worked with made for me for the logo. And I actually need to reach out to him again and have him reproduce it so I can put it online. So, and I didn't realize that Fear of Fish Studios altogether was so hard to type out into an email. If I'm like replying to somebody, I would have chosen something else like Arc Studios or, you know, one recording. And so once or twice when I was sending things out to people, I put studious and they're like, I sent you an email, man. And I'm like, is it this? And they're like, no. And I'm like, okay, step one in professionalism is learn to spell. So I started, you know, like keeping it in my phone in a folder of like common replies. So that is Fear of Fish Studios. I set up in Edgewood probably a couple years ago. As I guess the formality of it, maybe I was working off of doing a lot of stuff on my own on a you know, like a lot of us, you know, four track cassette recording and stuff like that. And then I had a Fostex FD8, which I thought was like really super slick because you could copy and paste things. This was like way. It had a jog wheel where, like, you know, you turn it 17 times to get to cut, right? And then you hit enter and then you turn it 17 more times and hit it to paste. But then I was working off of a Roland VS 2400, 24 track. And I got a lot of great results out of that machine for a while, but it was again limited in its capacity. And I was using like pieces and parts of all kind of different stuff. And something wouldn't work. And I'd be in the middle of recording a song and something wouldn't work and I wouldn't know what it was. So eventually I just kind of decided to like basically build everything, you know, from scratch per se, but bought all my gear is pretty much all brand new now over the last couple of years, instead of like something I bought off of eBay, you know. And, you know, again, I'd have like, whether it was like I have new mic stands. That's how anal I've gotten to the point where my wife's like, Sweetwater's here. And they delivered more mics. How many mic stands do you need? You know? So
I have mic stands here that really haven't been used in about 9 years.
waiting for that day.
Well, you when know,
the London Philharmonic is going to show up. But I need 17 mic stands.
Listen, are you familiar with the band The Art of Burning Bridges?
No, I'm not. But all right, so I'll have to look them up.
So they're from Pittsburgh. And their singer/lead guitarist is actually the lead guitarist of the band September Morning.
Okay.
I figured you would know that name.
Yeah.
So their drummer works – he does deliveries for a company. I'm not really sure what company. But they deliver to the medical center across the street from my house. Well, he played here a couple of times in one of his older bands. So every once in a while I get a picture of my house. And he goes, you're home today.
Nice.
Nope, you can't come for an interview today, Bill.
Nice.
But I went from, I had a mixer and a gate limiter and headphone amps and a bazillion mics, and we would like this was a house party. People would come here and they would have a party while the band and I were doing the show. And I set up a mic in the middle of the room to pick up the background noise, and that's what the show was. And now I'm using a ATR 2100 USB mic and a set of headphones.
There you go. It's amazing that you can get so much more done with so little, but then at the same time the possibilities continue to be endless because then more stuff comes out. And that was one of my kind of risks when I first started doing a lot of my own recording was the learning curve, right? Because the more you know, the more you want to know, and the more you know, the more you can do. But then the more you can do, the less you realize you can actually do or do with good results. And so I, going over to pianos and stuff and talking to those guys and researching monitors and headphones and preamps and compressors and just tried to really tune into the gear side of things. That was where a lot of my fascination always kind of was and sort of is now. I travel a lot for work, and you know, my wife and I will talk on the phone at night and she'll say, what you got going on? And I'll be like, oh, I'm watching a tutorial, you know, like she's like, a tutorial on what? I'm like, EQ. Like, well, that sounds exciting.
Well, that's along with my mic stands. I also have a Alesis 3630 that's sitting in the hallway that hasn't been used in 9 years.
I had a NanoVerb and a Alesis NanoComp and a set of Monitor Ones and a bunch of Alesis gears. I think Alesis Power Amp forever, and that thing was like, if you'd have thrown that out of a window, it would have been worse than throwing a piano out of a window. I mean, the thing was just so heavy. I don't know what they put in power amps that make them so heavy, but they're made out of like rhinoceros feet or something. They're so heavy.
We have a DBX. It's cool. It's a monster.
Yeah.
And it's one of those little metal frame carts with four wheels that it's so heavy the wheels loosen themselves and you can't push it. Do you want to start over and give me an idea of what bands you've been in the past?
Yeah, sure. But you'll don't check it against what might already be recorded in case I start to lie about something. And so I'll be like, I was in the Stones for a couple of years. So the reason I reached out to you actually, and again, thank you. It's really cool that you spend your time doing this, but you had tagged me when you interviewed Erika Lang.
Okay.
And you had played a song of ours that I had written called 1989.
Yep.
And I still remember where I was when I wrote that song. Actually, I was in Indianapolis right around Thanksgiving 1 year. And there's various reasons why I write songs, but I just wanted a song with a year in it, you know, like David Bowie, 1984, or, you know, 1999, you know, Prince, 1999, some of those things. And that the title really just kind of came to me first. But when I heard it on the radio, I was like, wow, like, it's great to hear, you know, hear some of my music again. So Slingshot Genius, I was in with Erika for a long time. When I say a long time, probably it was half as long as maybe she's been in Working Breed for now. But I was in a band called
Chris Bell.
Chris and I are real good friends. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. Chris used to work with a guy named Tony Marinacci, and that's how I know Chris. I've never actually met him in person, but that's how I got the connection to Slingshot Genius.
Nice. So that was probably why we were going to try and get something together with you when I was in the band with Chris. And that, like I had mentioned, I have thought that we were going to try and get something together at one point, like with on your podcast or on your show or come out and hang out with you or something, because Chris knows a lot of people. And Chris actually engineered that record in my house before I had the studio put together. He did that on a Zoom like 16 or 24 track or something. And he did most of that recording. I helped out, like, you know, hand me an SM57 kind of deal, like, so when you're working with your dad on a car.
That's exactly what I was going to say. I was just in my dad's garage.
that's pretty much what that was.
Although today it was hand me the duct tape.
Yeah.
I kind of had a deer run into my car.
Oh, no. Yeah, well, I wasn't sure about my timing today because I had the engine on my car died, and I went and bought one today. So I was out for a while this afternoon and early evening, but I'm glad I made it back in time. And then after that, really, it's just been a collection of, like, you have no idea who we are kind of bands. A lot of stuff on the website is this band that I'm in and out of right now called Eyepatch Bingo. That's on the Fear of Fish website. Bass player in that band, his name is Jimmy Calafatis. He was in a cover band called Imposter for a long, long time with his brother, George. George has been in a bunch of Southern rock bands and stuff like that. And Jimmy's just an incredible bass player. My friend Don played drums on a bunch of those tracks. He was in the band Shatter Road that I was in way back forever. And I'm talking like when the Buzz Poets were out, we opened for the Buzz Poets and the Clarks and Brownie Mary and, you know, that kind of a deal way back when Smiling Moose was around and stuff like that. Right now, I'm really concentrating on making music for other people and still trying to finish my own record. That's kind of where I'm at right now.
Well, I was on your website right before you called in, and I was looking at the sounds page.
Okay.
And recognized the name Dan Gitkin.
Yeah. So he, when Slingshot Genius was together, we had been looking for openers, and he answered an ad that we had, and he actually, we like quote unquote gave him his first gig in Pittsburgh. He's gone on to do great things, you know, way past when my band was together, but I've seen him a whole bunch of times. And when I was actually putting the studio together, I wanted some people that I knew real well to come over. And I was like, you know, hey, before I get this thing up and running, you know, come over and record with me and I'll just do your stuff for free. You know, and that way I'm like, well, if it's bad, it was free, you know, here's your free bad stuff. But because I had changed so much of the configuration in the house, I just wanted people that I knew that I could work with. And him and a guy named Tim Good came over, and we recorded 4 songs in 2 days over the course of the weekend. And I gotta say, I just from their compositions and what they contributed, I just think that they turned out really, really well, because they weren't even really finished, fully structured songs up to the point where we recorded on Saturday and Sunday. And it was Sunday at like 8 o'clock, and we finally got a drummer over to track drums. And he came in and was like, what do you need me to do? And he laid down the tracks to that one song, Long Drive Home. That was one of the songs that he did. And then there's another one of Tim Good's songs on there. Kind of reminds me of like a Harry Nilsson, kind of a 70s song, goofy songwriter vibe. Not that it's really a goofy song, but it's got kind of a quirky context to it, is one of his songs that are on there too, Dan and Tim.
Now, I don't have either of those songs, but I am going to play a Dan Gitkin and the 12-6 song tonight on this episode. I'm going to play At the Ivy Inn.
Oh, cool song. Good song.
And the other one I had to choose from was Born to Be, but I'm going with At the Ivy Inn tonight.
Good. He'll be glad to hear that.
Watching the time disappear so fast, and with all these wasted days, all these desperate, lazy displays, I can lay down upon the ground and feel it slowly slip away. Red lipstick, a blue eyes lie, the words upon your tongue, but the truth is in your eyes. We'll
Hey, what's up, you guys? This is Junior from Unbroken Soul, and you are listening to the Pennsylvania Rock Show.
watch a ball game on the only TV. Now there's five of these dudes standing next to me. Are they playing darts and just swinging their arms and poking holes in the drywall? You want to clear out the bar, what do you do? Is it bona fide tip, it's tried and true? Go to the jukebox and play Sweet Caroline, playing 10 more times. Oh, now it's 2 a.m. and all of my friends are gone. And that chug, drinking night like the IBM. Woo, woo, woo. Figured out it was me playing the old diamond. Didn't take a master's degree, it was just them and me, but they were sniffing for a fight. Men are first in the battle swing, and the tallest one grabs hold of me.
It was Dan Gicken and the 12-6 and their song At the Ivy Inn. I may as well get all this out of the way. So what I'm going to do now, before we go any further, I'm going to mention who's coming up on the Pennsylvania Rock Show, since I have the website open. And usually when I go to do that at the end of the show, I have to open the website. So on October 18th, we have Nagin. On the 25th, Samantha Sears. November 1st, Adam Fitz. November 8th, Animus. November 15th, Skies of Terra. The 22nd, Mr. Lisp. The 29th, The Rust Project. December 6th will be Scarlet Sky. And December 13th is the Shadow Event. If you would like to be on December 20th or any day after that, you can drop me an email at bill@billdescene.com or bill@parockshow.com. And we'll see if we can fit you in. So as I started to say earlier, before I went into my my mind not working like it's been doing so well for me tonight, is that I'm speaking with Scott Canavan tonight from Fear of Fish Studios. And if you were listening earlier, you got to learn a little bit about different bands he's been in and his studio itself, and how we almost had him on the show years ago.
I'm living an entire life of almosts. So now that I've completed this one, we're good.
Well, everything that I do with this show, I usually fall into backwards, or I like to call it walking backwards, which coincidentally is the title of a song by a band from this area way back when I first started listening to local music. The band was Creep. Occasionally, about once a year, they will play out. If you are familiar with Halley's Comet, that Mike Pirock, who's the lead singer of that band, is the lead singer of the band Creep. And phenomenal bands, both of them. But anyway, so Scott, I know everyone's going, okay, it's a studio, and he has not asked about equipment yet. So that's where we are. What kind of equipment do you have there? So I'm going to give you a chance to sell your studio a little bit.
So we had been talking about how I was working off of everything from 4-track cassette to your earlier versions of digital gear. And I even had a 2009 MacBook that I was trying to do some work on for a little while, but eventually got to the point where I said, I need a Mac. and I need some good gear. And, you know, I always felt like the first piece of great gear in the chain was a great vocal mic. So I actually invested some money in a great Neumann, a TLM 149, running through a Universal Audio Twinfinity. So anytime I'm tracking acoustic guitar or vocals, I think just, it just sounds great. A couple other vocal mics, an Aventone tube mic. I have a Warm Audio WA87, because we're in the age of clones, right? So it's not a U87 by any stretch of the imagination, but again, pretty warm. Not too crisp with the highs, you know, but it's got a nice mid range to it for great vocals and acoustic guitar. On the tracking side of things, using Logic Pro X, I think it's just very, very user friendly, but I kind of went off the rails and bought way too many plugins. So, you know, I have pretty much anything imaginable when it comes to replications of analog hardware in the software realm, because I have a full suite of IK Multimedia T-Racks. I have almost everything that Waves Audio has put out. And, you know, what I kind of found was that plugins are like, I don't know, they're kind of like running shoes, you know, what works for somebody doesn't work for somebody else, right? Mm-hmm. So I did a lot of research and made sure that when I was buying them, I was buying them when they were on sale, because when I first started doing this, a lot of that stuff was, you know, you could buy a vocal plugin for $29 now that was $299 a couple of years ago, because there's so much competition in the market. But so the hardware side of things, everything from Universal Audio, ART, Pro VLAs, I got some DBX compressors. I have some Pultec clones, right? Because nobody can really afford Pultec EQs, but Clark Technic makes some great replications of EQ from that brand, and some clones then of Universal Audio gear. The Clark Technic stuff again, KT 2As are really, really nice compressors. So building a couple nice racks, you know, along with all the imagination stuff in the software realm, I guess. It's all ones and zeros, but that's all great gear too.
If someone wanted to get a hold of you and do some recording in Fear of Fish Studios, how would they go about that?
So Scott Canavan, all A's in that name, Canavan, at fearoffishstudios.com. I get my emails like everybody else obsessively and immediately. So that's a good way to reach out to me. Feel free to look on the website. My phone number is listed on there too. I'll put an ad on Craigslist every now and then. Feel pretty fortunate. I'll put something on there within a couple of days. I usually have one or two people reaching out to me. I think my rates are beyond reasonable, but I'm also really looking to work with people who, you know, also maybe can't afford to go to a studio and spend, you know, the kind of money that somebody else might need to charge. You know, I'm certainly not in the league of some of those folks that can, you know, charge $100 an hour, but it's what I found was a nice side benefit of doing this was I was working with people, and it's really cool when you work with somebody that's never recorded before, you know, and you give them something that they're going to leave and they're going to put it on in their car and they're just going to rock out all the way home and be really, really excited. And so that's what I've been doing over the last year or so is working with those kinds of people, you know, who, you know, maybe can't afford to do something a little bit more expensive, but also want to kind of puts, you know, sound and, you know, output all together and have something they can leave with and be really, really proud of.
Cool. Well, yeah. I want to thank you for coming on episode.
Thanks for having me.
485. My numbers are getting high.
Now I have to go back and listen to 1 through 484 and see, see what else was on there.
289 is where you're going to start.
Okay.
Because those first 288 were the live ones. And they tended to be like 4 hours long, and I never uploaded them. When it became a podcast, those are the ones that appear on the website. Although it still is a radio show, as you heard all the stations I was mentioning earlier. But yeah, 289 is what starts on the website. So almost 200 episodes available on the line still.
Great.
Back to the tear stream. trying to make it through life. Meets the devil with a tongue like a knife. They cut away till there's no more to be. Another victim of the hate that we breathe. I want so much more than you ever will know. I had a dream and the whole world to show, but you just turned away when I needed you most. Oh, I never really wanted to go. Am I even high as I fall away? I was so lonely and lost in this place. As I fall to the ground and I'm nearing the end, I hope that I'll see you again. Mother and father work hard to survive. It's hard enough sometimes to just stay alive. Through all the fighting, all the feelings just die. You're always falling when you're chasing that high. The booze, the drugs, the pills are masking the pain. Building our lives or digging our graves. I loved you much more than you ever will know. Oh, I never really wanted to go. Am I even high as I fall away? I was so lonely and lost in this place. As I fall to the ground and I'm nearing the end, I hope that I'll see you again. So wrong. Things I think, oh, and the things that I dream. Hiding the madness, but inside I still scream. If you really cared, I wish you just told me so. 'Cause I never really wanted to go. Am I even high as I fall away? I was so lonely and lost in this place. As I fall to the ground and I'm nearing the end, I hope that I'll see you again. Am I even high as I fall away? I was so lonely and lost in this place. As I fall to the ground, I'll remember the times that we shared here, my friend. I'll reach up to the sky with these words that I send. One day I'll see you again.
I'm ship will keep me coming.